Ah, now it's time.
It's time.
It's time.
We are ready.
We're ready. And there's things happening around us in the room today again. So if you hear banging and crashing, just know everything's fine. If we start screaming,
we are
it's a whole different ballgame. But welcome to Parenting Matters. This is Parenting Matters, where we talk about parenting matters. And today is a special edition because we're going to talk about the top parenting matters, or actually tips for being a great parent, right? So we're going to look at the top five, but really top 10 tips for being a parent.
So we each get five.
That's right. Our
five
own
times two.
Top five. Look at that. Look, she's
math
doing
lesson.
Math in here. What in the world?
On your parenting.
I hope you're doing well. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, go ahead and subscribe, because I promise you're going to like what you hear. And then you can go back and you can look at our page and see all the different episodes that we've done over the course of the last year.
Right? Coming up on a year.
It's incredible that we were able to keep this thing going for a year.
Yeah.
But way to go, us.
Woohoo!
And then, share it with a friend. Share it with some parents that maybe are on an island. Maybe you've been looking for a way to talk to parents about something. This is a good option. Parenting Matters. Subscribe. So, what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the top things, the top tips for parents that we feel are what you really need to know, right? Really need to know. So go ahead, Tanya, give us your, this is not in any order.
No order. I did not
These
put mine in
just
order.
These are just in, you just pick one. So not just, maybe not your top, but just your, it's one. It's one of your top five.
Well, the first at my list, again, not in any order, is to stop yelling. You escalate. Your child either remains escalated if they were already escalated, or they also escalate and it becomes a yelling war, and it does not help anyone. So I know it's hard when you're angry, you want to yell. When you're frustrated,
it's probably what your parents did.
Want to yell. It's probably what your parents did. But my tip for you is to stop yelling. If you feel like you're going to yell, you don't have to have that discussion right then and there. You can take a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you need. Then you can come back and talk to your kid about whatever they did that made you so frustrated and angry, and in a calm way. It shows them respect. It shows them that they're worthy of respect to not be yelled at. But again, it is really hard to de-escalate a child who is also frustrated.
Thus, why they're acting that way.
Right. There's a reason for their actions. Sometimes they're just being little stinkers.
yeah, depending on their age, it definitely could be that.
But if they are escalated and you're to the point of yelling, then there's a reason for that, that they've gotten escalated and so riled up about something. So then you also teach them to not yell, which is important, to handle things in a calmer way.
So you said at the beginning, it's one of those things where you can escalate it, or it, you know, it inflames everybody. Mm-hmm. I would submit also, as a person who's not necessarily a high conflict, it also, if your kid is a less conflict person, it teaches them to shut down.
Actually,
and then
true,
not
yes.
deal with. So depending on the attitude of your kid, you're going to get one or two things. You're going to get the kid in the store that's throwing things and doing all types of stuff because you're escalating things, and they're like, hey, you know what? All right, I'll scream as loud as I want. I don't care about anybody in here. Or you're going to get a kid like me that's just going to calm down and disappear. I'm rarely am out of control, but even as a kid, I would just disappear, right? I knew how to disappear really quickly, and that's not healthy either.
Right.
Because nobody's saying anything at that point.
And that's actually how I was too. There was a lot of yelling in my house growing up, and I hate yelling. I hate people that yell at me now. Nothing will like shut me down faster than someone yelling at me. It takes me a lot to yell back. And I think I agree. That is a good point.
My daughter at five years old, my oldest daughter at 5 years old said, Dad, I don't like it when you yell. And I was like, she goes, it scares me. I don't appreciate it. And I was always like, it was around that time where I was like, well, she's a pretty special kid.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy that she could voice that.
Audibly say it.
Yeah.
And I just remember
put it into words.
We were in the living room and I was like, well, okay, I will really do as best I can to not yell because I know that it doesn't go anywhere for her and it doesn't.
Exactly.
It doesn't move her
forward.
It doesn't
help at all.
That's right.
It doesn't help anyone. So
in line with that, one of my top ones is learn to apologize. So maybe you did blow your top. Maybe you did.
Yep. Because we all will.
Mess up. Maybe you yelled. Maybe you even made a mistake. I know it's impossible to believe that, but sometimes we all make mistakes.
What?
Your kids don't expect you to be perfect, right? They want you to be good role models, but they don't expect you to be perfect. And so if you are always right, And everything that you do is, you know,
even when you know you're wrong,
even when you know you're wrong,
you just can't admit it.
That's you're building a barrier with your kids where they know, okay, I get it. I know that she did something wrong, or I know that I saw that, I was there, but they can't apologize. Again, that's a learned behavior that they're going to take with them. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that. Right. We want our kids to be able to apologize. We tell our kids to apologize all the time.
Right. You force them sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes we force them to. And so if you model the apologizing, then you'll lead your kids in the right direction as far as explaining to them and helping them to understand that it's okay to mess up every once in a while. And it is. I mean, listen, thankfully, God is a forgiving God, and we should be forgiving parents because he loves us and because we love our children
in
the same way.
I like what you said about the barrier, too, because apologizing and admitting that you're wrong is also a very vulnerable thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so you build trust and you build relationship with your child when you can be vulnerable. And again, you teach them it's okay to be vulnerable and to admit when you're wrong and to apologize. So I think that's good to point out. That when we refuse to be vulnerable, then we build those barriers in whatever relationship, your spouse or your children. So we need to take those opportunities to be open and honest and apologize.
Love it. All right, what's your number two? My number three.
Top five tip is to eat dinner together as a family as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And this is just a great time to have time together. That is just you and your family. Put away the electronics, put away the phones, have a basket or whatever that you put all your stuff in, and just spend time together. I love in the Bible that the first church, they broke bread together in each other's homes, and that's how they built community. And that's, there's just something about eating together that opens the door for community and even amongst our own family. Mm-hmm. So we think of community, you know, outside our homes, but having food together just opens the door for those kinds of conversations with your kids. You can ask questions, you can just talk, you can let them lead the discussion, whatever, however you want to do it. But there's just something about getting together and eating together. So if you can't do dinner, then maybe you can make breakfast work for your family, whatever it is. Dinner's great, but it I is, know not everybody it, can do that.
Well, what you learn is as your kids get older, it becomes harder and harder. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've talked about growing up, our family had dinners all the time until I started driving and got a job.
Yeah.
And something
you
like that.
Then I hanging out with Rainey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was a, it was a very, you know, for me, it was weird to not eat as a family because I just took it for granted. And I would say, if your kids take for granted that you guys eat together, that's probably not bad, right? That's a pretty healthy environment. But do be intentional at those family times. Don't have to make it weird and awkward and, oh, we're all going to say it, blah, 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 blah. Although the high-low game, everybody loves it.
Yeah.
It does give an opportunity for you to kind of lean in and see what your kids
and it's easy.
Are going on. It is easy. The little ones love it. They usually say funny things. And, you know, there are great things that happen around the dinner table. The other day, Zoe did not want to eat something. And Rainey said something to her in an effort to try to get her to eat it. It wasn't a bribe. It was like a, we were saying, you know, you want to get into a bigger booster seat, you got to hit 40 pounds.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I said, if you eat this, it's going to really help you get to be 40 pounds. And she's like, okay. And she starts to eat. She looks up and she goes, is that persuasion? And we're like, yes, it's persuasion.
Actually, it is.
And she's like, all right. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Who taught you the apparently word persuasion?
Apparently you're learning stuff. Way to go, kid. It was just hilarious. See a little munchkin look up 5-year-old. Is that persuasion?
Okay. I just persuaded?
Got it. I often wonder, well, what's going on in her head where she's like, I'm bookmarking all this
stuff.
Yeah,
right? Like, I'm going to use that technique.
But see, you miss that if you're all just sitting in front of a TV or if you're eating at different times or things like that. Those are important things, memories that you make just around the dinner table that were not, that wasn't intentional. It was just a conversation that we had because we were all there. Yeah. Most of us were waiting for Zoe to finish eating. All right. Mine is seek support. Mm-hmm. You can't parent successfully on an island. You can't parent successfully by yourself. You need to reach out. And your family is very important. Your family is an incredible resource for raising kids because they've obviously been there. They know they've gone through it. But I would submit, expand your boundaries. Find some friends. Find some peers. Find some other people that were outside of your family group to give you different perspectives.
Which because, is so important.
Man, it frustrates me to no end when I only get one side of something and there's no other option. There's always another option. There's a million different ways to parent. There's a million different ways to raise kids. So, man, bring other people in and don't be afraid to just listen to them and learn from them. You may not do it, but at least you're making yourself aware of things. Because, man, what I've learned, I don't even know what I don't know. And what I don't know boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't know so much. And man, there's so much good to be brought about. And you're going to be so strengthened as a parent.
Right.
When you have support around you. So someone that can go, man, I've done that, been there.
Not just to learn from other people, but the support of knowing you are not the only one who has made that mistake. You know, you're not the only one who's going through that hard time. You're not the only one who's struggling with these things. And that is always an encouragement to me when I realize, okay, other people are struggling with the same thing as me. Mm-hmm. I don't feel so isolated. I don't feel so weird. I don't feel
ashamed of it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you see, so another part of having that community and the support is realizing you are not the only one.
That's right.
There are other people who have done what you've done and said what you've said and thought what you've thought.
Been there for sure. Yeah. Parenting's been around for a long time.
Yes.
And kids, they haven't changed a whole lot.
They haven't changed.
Just like parents, they haven't changed much either.
Same.
All right, so this is your number three, technically our number five.
All right, so this one actually probably is my favorite. Not that it's my top parenting tip, but just my favorite. It's let your kids play. So what I do in preschool ministry, I just see the importance of this so much, but I also see it going away more and more. People are so busy that there's not a lot of free play time for kids, and they need that. They learn so much about the world around them. They learn so much, I think, emotionally and spiritually when they have time to just play. And so make that time, make time for them to be able to free play even without you, I think, to play on
their scary.
Own. Yeah, it is scary. It is scary. And I get it. The world is a scarier place than when we were growing up. But if every moment of their day is structured, so they're already so structured at school, and sure, they have a recess time if they're, you know, elementary and younger.
Even that's structured.
But even that's structured, and it's not very long. What, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
If that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not long. So then they come home, and you're like, okay, you have to do this homework for an hour. You have to, you know, and I'm all for chores. We've talked about that before in our parenting matters. But give them some time to just free play. And I don't mean on their video games or their electronic devices. Kick them out. My grandma would lock us outside when we went to visit her house, mostly because she wanted to clean the house. But it was good for us.
Very important.
To play all day.
So I love playing outside is incredibly important, right? You think back, I think back to, gosh, I spent so much time outside. And I grew up in a time when there wasn't really anything to do inside.
Yeah.
I can remember when I got my first Nintendo and my parents were like, okay, you can play this for this long and then you got to go back outside. And I remember for me, I could play for a little while and then I just had to go outside and climb a tree and run around and play with my friends. I mean, there was a lot to do. And man, like you said, that alone time, sure, they might get in trouble. Sure, they might do something and they might even get hurt. That's okay too.
It's a learning. That's how they learn.
Man,
through experience.
Think about it. Think about, go back. If you're a parent and you're being a little bit too structured and you're trying to protective, go back and think about the way you were raised, right? Two things. Mm-hmm. You either had the ability to make some choices and you ran around, and maybe you made some bad choices and that's what you're afraid of.
You're trying to protect your kids from that. Yeah.
But you wouldn't be the person you were if you hadn't made some of those choices. But if you educate your kid instead of just restricting them from it, they're going to learn better. Secondly, if you were a poor child that was sheltered and kept inside and wasn't allowed to adventure and do all those things, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wish that hadn't happened, but don't perpetuate it by making your kids do the same thing. Right. And overscheduling is a very real problem also. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful of that too. If if you look back and you go, man, my whole day was, I got up, we took them to school, we got them, picked them up from school. They had to go to basketball practice. Then we got home. We rushed through dinner. We had to grab something in the drive through, and we got home. They rushed through the homework, and then we had to come back up and do this other project thing that we were doing.
Yep.
Man, I hate that for kids because that
you too. I really
is,
do.
You're not setting a good example for rest, mm-hmm. as we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But you're also not setting a good example for, man, just the ability to take some time to have fun and enjoy life.
And where does imagination come into that schedule? And then the second thing, where do they learn to be alone? There are going to be times mm-hmm. in life when things are not structured. And if you can't learn to entertain yourself as a young child, that's an issue all throughout your life.
Man, I spent so much time in my room just going, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Bored.
You probably hear that from your kids.
And I'd be like, hey, Mom, I'm bored. And she'd be like, well, go outside. I've been outside. And you're not that bored because you clearly have options. And then guess what? Within 5 or 10 minutes, I'm doing something. I'm figuring it out. I'm running around. I'm chopping a tree down. My dad didn't want me to chop down. It's a whole other therapy session. But yeah, I mean, just let them play.
Let them play.
And if they mess up, this comes to my number three. Use natural consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Man, let them feel it a little bit.
Yep.
Let them feel the result of their actions. You can't manufacture that learning opportunity.
Right.
You can't. You can't use your words to for them to find out, man, if I mess up here, this is going to happen. And listen, that's one of the hardest things about parenting. When you love that kid so much.
Yes.
And they mess up and you go, I know I have to do this. And you're not terribly upset with them, but you know they need to learn from this.
Uh-huh.
You don't rescue them. You just let them be, and you can watch the pain on their face, and you can see it, and you're thinking, I'm a terrible person. I'm just letting this happen. You're not.
You're not.
You're helping them to grow.
It's so important.
On the
for
other
them.
Side of it, they're still going to love you.
Yep.
They're still going to come running to you the next time something happens. They're still going to want to talk to you. They may be upset for a little while, but on the other side of it, you're going to have an opportunity to talk to them.
Right.
And, man,
and you can still support
grow.
Them without rescuing them.
Yeah.
They can know that you're there, that you love them, and support them without jumping in and rescuing them. One example would be, so I was at a conference and the speaker was saying this, you know, if they forget their homework at home,
mm-hmm.
don't go back and bring it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them, that's a natural consequence. They suffer the consequence of that bad grade. I understand you don't want your kids to get bad grades at school. You want them to have good grades and do well. But if you rescue them every time, they are just going to learn to not care and not take responsibility.
That's
like,
right.
Ah, Mom will just bring
you know,
it up.
You're
going
to be rescuing them all the time.
All the time.
I failed at this just recently.
Oh, yeah?
Zoe forgot her backpack at home.
Oh, boy. And you went back?
And I said, I guess you're going to be without your backpack. And she just lost it.
Oh,
just
no.
crying. Oh, my lunch. I don't like the lunch that they have, and my lunch is in there. And I'm like,
sucker.
I've already spoiled you enough. I'm going to go get your thing.
It's too late now. Too late to change.
She won, man. She knows. I keep telling myself, if she was in fifth grade, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I hope.
Or
but that little kindergartner,
once, if it happens,
and it was
once
the first time
all year. Okay, that's fine.
And we did have a conversation afterwards. I said, "Listen, you're welcome. Daddy's happy to bring that up to you, but we need to make sure that this we double check every time we bring our uh-huh. backpack. And every day now she's bringing her backpack. She's,
yeah.
it meant something to her. But and again, it I don't know if I messed up necessarily, but
I don't think so.
Certainly. I gave in a little bit, but it was the first time.
Uh-huh.
This hasn't been a perpetual thing.
In her like 9 months of kindergarten already.
Exactly.
You know,
it was the first time she'd forgotten her backpack.
Yeah.
And the truth is I was a little bit at fault at it too, because sometimes I would take it out and then sometimes she would take it out. So now I let her take it out every time to fix the situation. So I kind of feel guilty.
I think that's, I heard another podcast or something where, you know, he talks about
other podcasts.
Oh, I know, right? This was
okay.
years ago.
She
anyway.
Listens to us too.
Maybe. I don't like to listen to myself. I'm not going to lie.
Well, then just listen to me and mute it when you come on.
He just talked about like showing grace. So his normal pattern would be to not rescue. Mm-hmm. But occasionally he would just talk about, you know, the God shows us grace mm-hmm. and he did all this and, you know, forgives us. And so I'm going to show you grace and I'm going to go get your backpack. You know, that wasn't his situation, but
sure,
it was, you know, something like that. And so that's okay too, I think, to
especially when it's not a repeatable thing that you're constantly being walked on.
You're not forming a habit in their life of forgetting things. And when you see it as a habit, you have to let them suffer those natural consequences.
Mm-hmm. What's your number four slash
eight? My next one is, this is a big one, and this is probably my number one if I put them in order. Give yourself a break. Mm. I just know so many parents that are so worried and stressed out and doing all of these things and trying to be the perfect parent and failing because we're going to fail.
Nobody's perfect.
But give yourself a break. Cut yourself some slack. Recognize what you can do. Be honest with yourself about what you can actually do. I'm not saying don't try your best. I'm not saying don't put in the effort.
Have some high standards, absolutely.
Have high standards, right. But don't put expectations on yourself that just aren't real. And this is where having your community support comes in, because those people will tell you that is not doable.
Yeah.
Like that isn't, you can't, you'll never be able to do that. And so those people will help you see more honestly, if your expectations are achievable or not.
I think it's one of the most important reasons to really get off of social media as much as you can.
Oh man, yes.
Because you put those expectations on yourself based on what you've seen.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times ignorance is bliss, right? You don't know you're doing a bad job until you start seeing everybody's pictures online and you're like,
and they're only putting on the things that they really
the best of the best. Yeah. Their best of the best is going on Instagram, but their lowest of the lows, guess what? Those aren't on there.
Or their normal everyday.
Yeah.
Scenes.
Or yeah, just nobody the everyday. Cares about that. That's exactly right. So yeah, give yourself a break and let yourself be you, because you can only be you. And if you're constantly trying to be somebody else, you're going to run yourself on the ground.
Yep. And your kids need you. They don't need another mom. God gave them to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's just give yourself a break and just absolute. My stomach's doing that weird thing again.
Oh, I heard it a minute.
The problem is I just keep eating, and I eat before this. And I'm sorry.
And you eat Skittles.
I'm apologizing to you. No, the Skittles actually is what calms it down.
Oh.
I think my stomach's hungry because I've been eating a lot of vegetables and chicken, and it's like, hey, I need something else.
I don't know what
Give
to do with this.
Give me more.
Listen, I walked into your office yesterday to get that camera, or Monday, whatever day it was, and I saw your big bag of Skittles on your desk.
And it's sitting right here.
And yeah, well, it was on your other office, on your other desk, and no one was there. And I was like, ooh, I want some Skittles. But then I was like, I can't reach my hand into his bag of Skittles. That's just
arid of COVID, but you're welcome to, with like a spoon or something.
But I saw in your closet a small bag.
Yes.
One of the fun size.
Also welcome.
So I ate that.
I have so much stuff. It's ridiculous. I eat like a child. But I do eat vegetables and chicken so that I can eat like a child.
I was going to tell you, I did eat that.
That's okay. That's fine. Thank you for your confession. All right, let's get back to it. So my number four is look at the big picture. Again, don't focus on these little things, these these individual things and these individual events, but focus on the bigger picture.
Yes.
That helps you in your discipline.
Good.
That helps you in all the things that you do, that the decisions you make now do affect the things that happen down the road.
To the big picture.
That's right. But they don't. You also don't have to beat yourself up because you missed one opportunity.
Right.
That's going to happen also.
Yeah.
It's like your job. You're entitled to vacation. You need to take vacation. Uh-huh. But if you're in a responsibility role, there's never really a good time to take a vacation.
Right.
Because as soon as you do, something's going to happen and people are going to need you. But you need that vacation more than anything else.
Right.
Because a healthy you is going to be better than a tired you who's available right then.
Yep.
A healthy you in a week is way better than a tired you right then. So look at the bigger picture in regards to parenting, in regards to all of the things in your life.
Uh-huh.
And understand that the decisions that you make have a much greater role to play later in life. Not everything has to be done right now.
Right.
That's a tough one for a lot of people.
It is tough.
Because
it's
the things
hard.
That happen in front of you are very important.
You're focused on those things right there, and it is hard to step back and see the bigger picture. Either if you're at the beginning and you're looking forward, or if you're in the middle and you're kind of looking back and forward, or at the end looking back, wherever you are in your parenting, it's hard to step away from the immediate situation.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time and it takes intention to do that, to make yourself step back and say, okay, what's my child really like? You know, what's their character really like?
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, they're being a brat.
Really, yeah.
But
this is not a reflection on who they really are.
Yes. It's like a one-time event, you know, and again, be honest there. And
you know, scripture teaches us just the greater plans of God and the bigger things that sometimes we can't even see. And it's hard in the moment of stress, in the moment of anxiety, in the moment of peril, to see that God's plan is greater.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't need to hear it from other people, mm-hmm. right? And if someone passes away unexpectedly, the last thing you want to hear is, well, God had a great plan. And
yeah.
like, no, you know, right now that hurts. But within an appropriate amount of time, it is important to look back and to say, what is the bigger picture here mm-hmm. and what is the greater impact? And when you trust in God, you understand that his greater impact yeah. is way better than the small inconvenience that we yeah. had at the beginning.
That goes back to that natural consequences, what we were talking about, not rescuing your kids. In that moment, like you said, you feel like a terrible parent. You didn't rescue them. You didn't bring this important paper up that they forgot that they needed mm-hmm. for school. And you feel like a jerk, but big picture is you're teaching them to be responsible. And that's hard
exactly
to see.
Right.
But you have to keep that in mind.
And it goes, this one ties into a lot of them too. It's importance of playing and trusting your kids to play responsibly
yeah.
and to do
yes.
different things, but on
yeah.
their own.
Uh-huh.
Because in the bigger picture, they're going to reach an age where you can't stop them from
right.
doing those things. So the sooner you allow them to mm-hmm. have that freedom.
And take healthy risks.
You're going to be able to see, one, you're going to be able yeah. to see them in a coaching situation where you can step in if it's too bad and say, hey, consider this. Whereas if you wait or restrict them and then wait till later, you have no influence at that
mm-hmm.
point. All right, we're getting around, coming around
almost
the corner.
There.
We got two more.
My last one is to show affection.
Mm.
I know for some people that's hard. For some people that's very easy. But especially younger children. Well, no, teenagers too. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to feel your affection. They want to know that they are loved. And you love your kids. No one is doubting that. But as a child, ask the child on the receiving end, sometimes it's hard to know that and understand that when it's never shown. And that's beyond just saying, I love you, but show your affection, whether it's through physical affection, hugs and pats on the back and, you know, kisses on the cheek, whatever. But also through serving them, through
words of affirmation,
yep. finding ways to tell them how, you know, tell them who they are, who you see that they are.
I struggle with the physical affection, especially once the kids get a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them because they smell. No, I'm just kidding.
teenagers.
That really is me as a person. I'm not as terribly affectionate person. Uh-huh. But you recognize quickly how important it is. I enjoy words of affirmation. I enjoy encouragement. I enjoy
time. Mine is time.
Less the physical touch of it, right? I don't. Yeah. Somebody runs up and gives me a hug.
you stand
unless you're
there
my
stiffly.
Wife, it's a little, yeah. I get a little weird about it. But it is important for you to show that to your kids and for them to understand what is appropriate and what is important. They need to know how much you care about them.
They do.
And how
they
what
do.
They do is good.
Don't
and you're proud of them.
They
that
know.
You're. That
yeah.
you love them, unconditionally. That's very important for kids, and your admiration is mm-hmm. goes a long way. And again, that may not have been something you were shown very well by your parents or by the people that raised you, but man, that's all the more reason to show affection yep. to the people that you have been trusted with.
Yep.
All right. Finally, and
last
this kind of
one.
Ties into all of them. It's consistency.
Oh, yeah.
In whatever
so
you do,
important.
Be consistent.
Yes.
Right? In whatever you do, your kids need that security.
Need it.
They need to know that, above all, you're going to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things in life that they can just, they just know are there. They may not like them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may not like going to school, but when school disappears, what we found out in COVID is they start going, oh, man, I don't know what's going on now.
Right.
Right,
yeah,
and they miss
like
it. And they mm-hmm. wish that my kids, every one
structure.
Of my kids at one point said, I want to go back to school.
Yeah.
And you get to points where you're like, I don't think they're ever going to say that, but they did. They all wanted to go back to school. They wanted to get back into a routine.
Mm-hmm.
People like routines. We settle yeah. into routines. Now, that doesn't mean that things shouldn't be changed. Whatever you
right.
set up is done. You need to allow yourself flexibility, but understand that.
Or if you realize it's not working,
yeah,
change it.
Exactly. But whatever it is you do, don't set up something that is so overwhelming
uh-huh.
that it's impossible to be consistent
yes,
with it.
Yes, that's so good.
Make sure
start
that whatever
small.
You do, yes, yeah, start in a way that you know you can repeat it, that you
uh-huh.
know you can keep it up. You every night you're not going to want to make a 5-course meal.
Right.
Every day you're not going to want to do these amazing elaborate things. And they're important and fun sometimes, but there needs to be consistency there so that the kids know that they're secure. And I'm sensitive to this as a foster parent, as an adoptive parent, because consistency is critical for those people, because their life is spiraling out of control. Right. They don't have any idea what's going on. And even on the surface, they might look okay, but internally, they're constantly wondering what's next. But your biological kids are absolutely the same way. Mm-hmm. But typically, if you're still living with your biological kids, they just deep down know that that consistency of at least you is there. But a healthy kid will come from a consistent environment where they know that they're loved consistently, and they have at least some semblance of a routine.
And I just, like, emotionally, kids are kids. They are emotionally not developed. So they need that routine, that structure, that consistency to make sense of the world around them. That's they're still learning. They're still developing. And so that consistency is even more, it's important for me. So I'm an adult, and like the consistency just helps a lot. You know, new things, I kind of tiptoe in or whatever, or when things are different or when things change. And so it's 10 times more important for a child emotionally to have consistency so that they have that safety to continue to grow and develop and explore and learn.
And like you said, adults benefit from it too.
Yeah.
Because you need that consistency in your life as well, just so you can breathe sometimes. So yeah, give yourself consistency so that you can also just, you know, become more emotionally healthy. Because there's a lot of adults out there that aren't emotionally healthy. And they're inconsistent in everything. We made it.
All right.
We had the top five tips. Top 10 tips.
Five each.
Yeah, the top five, really top 10 tips.
You're lucky you got parenting, twice
and parenting
as many.
That is, this was a good thing, and you got you looked at it and you went, how in the world was it 40 minutes? But now you know. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, send us an email. Give us some suggestions for some other things that we could talk about in regards to parenting. We'd love to answer your questions. We'd love to just connect with you. You can go to m1bc.org and find out more about what that Magnolias First has to offer. You can also contact us there, but also you can email us, tanya@magnoliasfirst.org or seth@magnoliasfirst.org. We look forward to talking with you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Parenting Matters. Have a great week.
Have a great week.